that's none of your business. In today's Bible reading, Jesus, the wine, the wedding at Cana, he told his mom it's none of her business. And you know, that's not okay. You can't, if you're the child and talking to your mother, you don't get away with that. It communicates disrespect. It communicates a sense of disdain, even if it's said kindly. It's rude. Now, there are Bible scholars who will look at this part here, and they'll look at the way Jesus addressed his mother, where she says, or he says, "Woman, what concern is that?" And they'll say that that's rude too. And that's not quite the same thing going on. I identify that when Jesus said, and fairly he said, "What concern is that of you and me?" But he was communicating to her, "It's none of your business." But when he calls her woman, it's more in the context of the time about like saying something like, "Ma'am. Ma'am, what concern is that of you and of me?" But he could have said, "Mom." You know, I mean, you don't usually refer to your mother as ma'am. So while it wasn't rude, it was not really familiar either. But Jesus was being rude to his mom at a wedding. Mary responded in a more respectful way. And she was probably holding her tongue. "Do whatever he tells you," she said. Perhaps there was some eye rolling before that and a sigh. "Jesus," like that. "Do whatever he tells you." And I imagine that there may have been a little conversation off camera, so to speak, of Mary looking at Jesus and saying, "Don't you ever talk to me that way." And Jesus saying, "I'm sorry, Mom, you're right." Because that's the kind of thing Jesus would do, even if he said something that wasn't quite right there. But it brings up a question. It's in the Bible Jesus did it. Is it okay to talk to people with disrespect? I know it happens every day. At every level, from friends talking to one another, to family talking to one another, to teachers, to business associates, to political adversaries. But still the question, is it okay? And another question, what does it accomplish when we do that? It's good that Jesus turned water into wine at a time when people were going to get more rude at the wedding. You know, it was the end of the wedding. The people had already drunk, and it's even identified in this morning's reading that usually the cheap wine comes out when people are drunk. But Jesus turned it into good wine and probably brought spirits up a little bit. So Jesus is a guest at a wedding, and he still practices extravagant hospitality to the other guests and to the host of the party. Because Jesus does that too. He practices extravagant hospitality. And apparently, occasionally, he can be rude. Here's a little bit of life advice. It's not necessarily biblical advice. It's just something that I've learned. And if you're younger than I am, you can say that I'm wise. And if you're older than I am, you can say, well, he'll learn. But here it is. The response to someone showing hospitality is graciousness, always. Also, advice like that is meant as something that individuals can and should do. It isn't a "they didn't respond graciously" excuse for being disrespectful to a person. We all can only control the way that we act, not the way someone else does. Right? Anyway, there's a little soapbox. Take it, don't take it. I like it. It's a good rule for me. Jesus practiced extravagant hospitality. He responded to a need, and the need at this wedding was more wine. He did that a lot. It's a good example to follow, responding to needs. Not at our own expense, but responding to need is good. And sometimes the response to a need is very controversial. There is something going on, and we need to stand up in the face of an injustice. There isn't agreement in these times on what the need is. There isn't agreement on the solution There's fear-mongering, there's hatred, any number of attempts to marginalize any movement to move toward a better day. And today we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Remember, he was in a Birmingham jail after leading nonviolent demonstrations for civil rights. Nonviolent demonstrations against racism. Nonviolent demonstrations against injustice. He had been chastised for the demonstrations and for his part in them. He had been called an outside agitator and received a lot of, you don't belong here, this is none of your business letters from local clergy. In 1967, August 16th, Dr. King said these words from his speech, "Where Do We Go From Here?" He said, "I'm concerned about a better world. I'm concerned about justice. I'm concerned about brotherhood. I'm concerned about truth." And when one is concerned about that, he can never advocate violence. "For through violence you may murder a murderer, but you can't murder murder. Through violence you may murder a liar, but you can't establish truth. Through violence you may murder a hater, but you can't murder hate through violence. Darkness cannot put out darkness. Only light can do that." You see, violence doesn't solve things. It makes them worse. And we as humanity have to realize that and be part of making things better together. In the United Church of Christ, we're part of a program called Faiths United to Prevent Gun Violence. It's a coalition of 50 churches and faith-based organizations that has long advocated for stronger background checks as one step to prevent gun violence. In an article a couple weeks ago, Sandy Sorensen, who's the director of the UCC Justice and Witnesses Ministry and Office in Washington, weighed in on the recent executive actions by President Obama. She said this, "The measures enforce and clarify laws already on the books, and it strengthens the capacity of existing background check system and eliminates inconsistencies in how states report their data. The president's action would also better report mental health concerns. There is certainly more that can and should be done, but this does help slow the trafficking of guns." She also said that, well, she said this about the continuing conversation on gun violence prevention. She said, "It's a conversation that people of faith are called to have. What is our response to a society in which tens of thousands of people each year are killed by gun violence?" Can't shut down the conversation. And you know what the UCC, or the Faiths United to Prevent Gun Violence, say may not be something that you all agree with. We have, I'm sure, different opinions on that. But the conversation needs to keep happening. We can't shut down the conversation because we don't agree with the direction it's going, or we don't agree with the people who are talking. We don't need to send letters to pastors in jail and say, "You're an outside agitator. You should just shut up." We need to keep talking about the things that affect us in our world. Gun control is a topic that gets people riled up. Folks start demonizing one another and one another's opinions with disrespectful, rude, and unnecessary attitudes. And I recognize, still, all these strong opinions. And it's not just present in churches, it's in communities, in states, our nation, throughout the government. And as long as we keep demonizing people who we disagree with, we're never going to get anything done, for sure. Does it seem that conversation about solutions for the common good are almost impossible sometimes? Yeah. Does that mean that people of good conscience, good faith, and good intentions can't unclench their fists and work together toward solutions? No. Doesn't mean that at all. Humanity has to stop finding ways to berate, belittle, harm, and kill each other. Dr. King had this right. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. He said that in one of his speeches. And if we inject violence into our inescapable network, then the violence doesn't wane, it grows. Because remember, violence cannot cast out violence. Hate cannot cast out hate. Hate cannot cast out hate. Toxic speech cannot stop toxic speech. Kindness leads to kindness. Generosity leads to generosity. Forgiveness to forgiveness. Cooperation to cooperation. Love to love. Hospitality to hospitality. Jesus responded to a need in this morning's Bible reading. Some today see that move as controversial or try to explain it away in a way that makes Jesus less controversial. They say, oh, it wasn't real wine, or the wine was different. Remember all those things? It was real wine. It's the kind of wine that could make a person drunk. And Jesus drank the wine too. That doesn't mean that it's for everyone and some people ought not to drink, but Jesus did right there. And it is present in our society and in our lives, and we don't need to belittle what Jesus did. Yes, that was real wine. Let me wade into something else that's real and controversial nowadays. And you may or may not agree with me, but of course, Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Are our theologies the same? No. Do we experience God exactly the same way? No. But it's the same God. The God of Abraham is the same God. But if we wanted to apply a standard of the same God that I see happening with Dr. Hawkins, well, my goodness, the people at St. Paul's United Church of Christ do not worship the same God as the administration at Wheaton College. But we do. We have different experiences. We have different theologies. We have different ways of looking at things. But we do worship the same God. And we need to stop demonizing people who worship differently, who understand differently, who have different experiences of God and different theologies of how God works in the world, and find ways to love one another, find ways to work together. We don't need more reasons to fight. We need reasons to be called to something better. Better than the best that we might pull out at a wedding feast. Better than what we use simply to impress others with our betterness. It's the kind of better that changes the world. It's the kind of better that not only recognizes but celebrates that we are woven together in this inescapable network of mutuality. We are together in all of this. It's the kind of better that Jesus talks about when he says, I have come to bring you life, abundant life. Dr. King reminds us of our unbreakable connection to one another and our ability through love to bring love. Jesus reminds us that that connection is to be celebrated with kindness and generosity and forgiveness and cooperation, love and hospitality. We can talk to one another. We can expect the best from one another. Treat one another as if everyone mattered. And try our best to do it all with respect and without being rude. Amen.